too many wires up here. That's all there is to it. I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to fill in for Pastor Rogers while he's gone. And I consider it an honor to stand in his place this morning. But if you would, turn back in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter number 1. I'm going to look at verse number 27. Brother Tim, you shouldn't have read those jokes in class this morning. There's a couple of those that are. I didn't have them. He did. But they're very good, but they were. I just don't want to get behind in my preaching. All right. Mark chapter 1, verse number 27 says, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits." Excuse me. "What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." I want to talk to you this morning just on that little subject this morning. They do obey him. They do obey him. Father, thank you for God the privilege of this day. And Father, thank you for God what you've done in this place. God, thank you for what you even want to yet do. God, we sure do love you this morning. And God, thank you for God just the blessings you want to give. Please speak to our hearts today. Now, Holy Spirit, please, I need your help this morning. God, please give me your power. Give us your power as we listen. And God, please just do a great, great work today. Thank you for what you want to do. Now, please bless. Open your word to us and help us respond the way you'd have us to. Help us to obey you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We hear a great deal anymore, and you don't have to look around very much. Just listen to the news, and there's just a lot of talk going around basically about this. Is the second coming of Jesus close? Are we close? I mean, we just hear a lot about that. There's too many things in the Bible that are starting to happen. And with the president we have, it's just shown us that a person can come from basically out of nowhere, from out of obscurity, and gain the popularity. And that's just a little bit close to what the Bible talks about. But so the second coming of Jesus Christ has got to be just around the corner. Well, I've heard some folks say, "Boy, this is the rapture generation." Well, could be. Things are happening just too fast. This could be the last generation on the face of the earth. This could be it. These must be the last days. I'm thinking of one person right now who always said, "Well, Pastor, don't you think these are the last days?" And always had the same reply. "If we're in the last days, don't you think we ought to be more about the business of Christ than we ever have before? Don't you think that more than any other generation, we ought to be the obedient generation? Don't you think that if there's ever been a generation on the face of this earth that's ever ought to be more concerned about getting God's work done and disappointing Jesus Christ, it ought to be this generation? If there's ever been a generation that ought not ever disappoint the Savior, it ought to be this generation." Let me ask a question this morning. Does it matter to you if you disappoint God? I mean, does it really matter? Do you care if you disappoint Jesus? God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And nothingness obeyed, and there was light. God spoke to darkness, and darkness obeyed him, and darkness yielded and brought forth light. God spoke to the firmament and commanded it to divide the waters below the firmament and above the firmament, and the firmament obeyed. God spoke to nothingness and emptiness and commanded emptiness to bring forth grass, and emptiness obeyed. God spoke to emptiness again and commanded emptiness to bring forth the fruit trees, and emptiness obeyed. Again, God spoke to emptiness and commanded emptiness to bring forth the herbs of the field, and emptiness obeyed. Again, God spoke to emptiness, to nothingness, and commanded that emptiness to bring forth the sun, to bring forth the moon, to bring forth the stars, and emptiness obeyed. Again, God spoke to nothingness and commanded that nothingness to bring forth life, to bring forth the animals, to bring forth the fish of the sea. And emptiness obeyed. In Matthew chapter 14, the wind of the sea was contrary and tossing the ship back and forth and to the place where the men in the ship were fearful of their lives. And Jesus commanded the wind to be still, and the wind obeyed. Just as darkness had obeyed. Just as emptiness had obeyed. Just as nothingness had obeyed. The wind obeyed. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus spoke to a demon. Now this is a demon that was going to be cast in hell forever and ever. This was a demon that at one time was an angel in heaven that rebelled by the revolt led by Lucifer. And Jesus rebuked that devil, and the devil obeyed and departed out of that man. And just like the wind, God commanded and the wind obeyed. Just like nothingness, God commanded and nothingness obeyed. Just like emptiness obeyed when God commanded. Just like darkness, God commanded and darkness obeyed. In the verses we read just a few moments ago in Mark chapter 1, verse number 27, Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of that man. And the Bible says the men marveled and they said, "What manner of man is this? Even the unclean spirits obeyed." In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 27, Jesus is crossing the sea with his disciples and some other men. And again, there's a great tempest on the sea and the ship is tossed and turned. And the men that are there are fearful of their life. And in chapter 8, verse number 24 of Matthew, the Bible says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." The men came down and talked to Jesus and they said, "Save us, we perish, don't you care?" And Jesus commanded the sea to hush and to be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 27, the Bible says, "But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Just like darkness, it obeyed him. Just like the emptiness obeyed him. Just like the demon obeyed him. Mark chapter 4 verse 35 says, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Verse 41 says, "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Once again, we see God at work. Luke chapter 8, it says, "And now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm." Verse 25 says, "And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him." Do you see one word that's kind of repeating over and over and over again? In Joshua chapter 10, the Israelites were in a battle and they needed more time to defeat their enemy. Darkness was coming. The enemy would slip away and they'd lose the battle, or the battle would, they'd have to fight it again one day. But God, in an earlier verse, had said God had promised Joshua that the enemy would be delivered into his hands. In Joshua chapter 10, verse number 12, the Bible says, "They then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." Verse 13 says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day." On that day, the entire universe stood still. Every planet stood still. The sun stood still. Every star stood still. Everything stopped. Everything stood still. God commanded, the sun obeyed. God commanded, the moon obeyed. God commanded, the wind obeyed. God commanded, the sea obeyed. God commanded, the darkness obeyed. God commanded, emptiness obeyed. In Judges chapter 5, the stars were commanded by God to fight and aid God's people in their battle against Sisera. In Judges chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, "And they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera." Now, I don't know exactly whatever part they had in the battle, but the stars were involved. And the Bible says the stars were commanded to join in the battle, and the stars obeyed the command of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth." The verse teaches us there that God created the stars. He commanded them to be set in a certain exact place in the heaven and to stay there. And their job was to shine in exactly that spot that He commanded them to be and to stay there and obey and do their job. Would you please pray tell me, why is it that God can command a star to go to heaven and stay there and shine in obscurity and stay put when God can't even get His own people to go and obey as He has said? That star wanted no attention to himself. That star didn't want a preference. That star didn't want any attention. That star didn't want compliments. That star was up there to do his job, and he stood there and just shined and stayed put in his place and did his job year after year, year after year. Hundreds of years passed. And then one day the God of heaven commanded that star to go to the Middle East and hover over a manger in Bethlehem to announce to the whole world that the Christ child was born. And that star obeyed. Jesus spoke to the dead, and the dead obeyed. John chapter 11, verse number 43. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth." You ever thought about what would happen had he not said Lazarus? If he just said, "Come forth," you talk about a miracle. "And he that was dead came forth." God commanded, death obeyed him. God commanded, the stars obeyed him. God commanded, nothingness obeyed him. God commanded, the sun obeyed him. God commanded, the waves obeyed him. God commanded, the moon obeyed him. God commanded, the seas obeyed him. God commanded, the waves obeyed him. God commanded, darkness obeyed him. God commanded, the demons of hell obeyed him. Deaf ears obeyed him. Mark chapter 7, verse number 32. "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand on them. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened." God commanded, and deaf ears obeyed. Blind eyes obeyed him. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46, and the verses following. Blind Bartimaeus called out for Jesus that he might receive his sight. And Jesus commanded the blindness to leave, and the blindness obeyed, and blind Bartimaeus was no longer blind Bartimaeus. Jesus commanded, and blindness obeyed. The lame, the palsied were healed by Jesus. How many times in Scripture do we find that Jesus came to one of those, or they came to Him, and they left, not lame, not halt, not palsied. Mark chapter 2, where the man was lowered down through the roof in the presence of Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse 11 says, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. We never saw it on this fashion. God commanded, and lameness obeyed. Palsy obeyed. The halt obeyed. God commanded, Jesus commanded one day to a fish, and He says, "Take this coin, put it in your mouth, go to a certain spot, and stay put till I get there. And when I reach down and take that coin out of your mouth," the fish went, the fish stayed, the fish obeyed. The fish obeyed. He ordered the fever to leave, and fever obeyed. He ordered the sea to part, and the sea parted. He ordered the winds. He commanded the winds to blow across where the seas had just parted and dry out the ground. And again, the winds obeyed God. He commanded the ravens to swing by Burger King and pick up a Whopper for Elijah. And they did. The ravens obeyed God. Now, not a clean bird. It's a dirty bird. That dirty bird, that sounds funny. That unclean bird obeyed God. He obeyed the command of God. That unclean bird. God commanded a dove to take out an olive branch to announce the end of the flood, and the dove obeyed God. God commanded the animals to enter into the ark two by two, and they obeyed. Now, wait a minute, think about it for a minute. Think about getting those animals into the ark. Think about what had to be done. The elephants and the cobras and the rattlesnakes and the monkeys and the lions and all the animals, the you name it, to get them into the ark. They obeyed. How many people stood around side watching when God told them what to do with it and commanded them to get into the ark? And they said, uh-uh. But God told the animals, two by two, get into the ark. And they went. They did not hesitate. God commanded a donkey to speak to Balaam. The donkey obeyed. God commanded fire to come down on Mount Carmel, and the fire obeyed him. He commanded a ram to go to a certain bush on Mount Moriah and said to be there and stay there and be caught in the brush until Abraham can find you and use you, ram, for the sacrifice instead of Isaac. The ram obeyed. If the fever obeys and the storm obeys, if the demons of hell obey him, if the waters will obey him, and the moon will obey him, and the sun will obey him, and the wind will obey him, and the solar system obeys him, and the angels will obey him, and the ravens obey him, and the doves obey him. Why in the world won't God's creation, the one that He gave Himself for, why won't His greatest creation obey Him? We are the object of His love, not the raven. Not the dove, not the stars, not the demons, not the moon, not anything, not those animals that walked onto the ark two by two when they agreed. Why? Why won't God's creation obey Him? I mean, He left the comforts of heaven for us. He left the fellowship of God the Father for us. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem for us. The angels sang about the Savior for us. The star obeyed in pointing out the birthplace of Christ for us. Why won't we obey God? Why wouldn't we want to obey God? Let me ask you again this morning. Do you care if you disappoint God? Does it matter? Jesus, the one that was born in a manger, the one wrapped in swaddling clothes, the one who had to flee his birth to stay alive, to flee after his birth to stay alive, the one whose own family hated him, the one whose own synagogue abandoned him, the one who was falsely tried, the one who was convicted on false evidence, the one who was beaten beyond recognition, the one who allowed nails to be driven into his hands and his feet, the one who shed his blood for us, the one who endured the cross, the one who had his body broken for us, the one who endured the beating of the cat of nine tails. Could you picture that? Would you stop for just a minute, please, and just picture in your mind what that entails? Could you picture somebody that's tied up on a rack, hands and skin, everything pulled taut, pulled tight? Somebody stands behind them with an object on a stick with some leather straps, possibly some rope, some string of some kind. On the end, nine little balls of some type with pieces of metal and pieces of glass and pieces of rock and sharp objects in there. Nine of them. And taking that whip and slaying it across the back of the Savior. And every time that hit his back, he would jerk it back. And every time those cat of nine tails would hit the Savior, they would embed in his back. And that operator was very skillful. And just as they got embedded, he'd jerk it back and pull the flesh with it. Nine times those objects hit him. The Bible says to the place where when they got done, we see these little pictures of Jesus on the cross. It looks so cute. I mean, he's almost got that look on his face like, it's so peaceful. But the Bible says the Savior on the cross, you could not tell he was a human being. He was beaten so bad. In fact, most men never made it past that place. They died. And some of these guys say Jesus was a little wimpy homosexual. My Savior was a man. He showed it right there because a man took that and lived. Did you think about that this morning? Would you think about the price that God paid for the object of His affection this morning? Next time you say, God, I don't want to do that, would you please think of Jesus Christ on that post with the blood dripping down his back? They say, well, Jesus on the cross, he wasn't dressed very modestly. He was not dressed at all. Not at all. Next time you want to say, God, I don't want to do that, would you please imagine those nails going into his hands? Would you think about that? Would you think about the fact that, I don't believe at all, they had to take his hand and jerk it out there and hold it down. I think when they grabbed his hand went out there and it would have stayed had they let go. Just picture the nails being put in the hands of the Savior. By the way, He did that for us, the object of His affection. He didn't do it for the sun. He didn't do it for the stars. He didn't do it for those animals that went on the ark 2x2. He did it for me. He did it for you. May I ask you the question again? Why won't we obey Him? Why do we bristle when we feel Him speaking to us? Why during the invitation we grab the front of the pew and say, I won't do it. I won't do it. Why won't we obey Him? The one who fell beneath the weight of His own cross. The one who on the cross first of all said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Why won't we obey Him? The demons obey Him, but we don't. The unclean birds obey Him, but we don't. The air we breathe is His, but we won't obey Him. The food we eat is His. It's from Him, but we won't obey Him. The demons of hell obey Him. Hey, young person, let me ask you a question. If the demons in hell will obey Him, why do young people have trouble obeying your parents? Why? The demons obey God. Why do we have trouble obeying? We beg God for answers to prayer, but we won't obey Him. And finally, we get in a bind and we realize, boy, I guess I better pray. I don't know what else to do. And God is faithful. And He answers. And then we quit praying. Why won't we obey God? We beg God for a job, and jobs are hard to find. 15% unemployment. We beg God for a job. And then God gives us a job, and we're so thankful God gives us a job. But when it comes at the job place, why is it we're so afraid to tell people, I got my job because God gave it to me? Why are we so afraid to speak up for God? Why don't we obey Him? We beg God to meet our financial needs, but we don't obey Him. We beg God to get us out of our financial messes, but when God says to give Him what is His, to give Him His tithe, to give Him His offerings, to give Him, when you say, God, what do you want me to give? But boy, we sit home and we'll watch our dish on our plasma TV, and when that offering plate goes by, we plunk in a 20 and call it good. Why won't we obey Him? We beg God to deliver Him from all sorts of situations, but we won't obey Him. Hey, do you understand this morning that if we would just obey God, we wouldn't get into those spots in the first place? The winds obeyed Him. The sun obeys Him. The moon obeys Him. The waves obey Him. The comfort that we get, it comes from God. The strength that we get comes from God. That peace in our heart comes from God. The strength that He gives us that heals the marriages, that comes from God. The strength and wisdom He gives us in our day-to-day life, it comes from God, and He gives it to us freely. Why is it we come to church? Why is it we come to leave? I don't know what time it is. My watch just fell on the floor. I don't know what time it is. I don't know when to quit. But why is it right now we're thinking, when's he going to get done so I can go home? And listen, I'll guarantee you, at a church this size, there's one person thinking, they've already got in your mind, I'm not coming back tonight. Why won't we obey God? Why? Why won't we obey the one who gave His only begotten Son to us? If these are the last days and Jesus is coming soon and we're a day closer to than yesterday, if this is the rapture generation, then where's everybody on Thursday nights and Saturday mornings? Where is everybody when it comes time to knock on doors? And if not ride a bus, by the way, why is it so hard to get somebody to drive a bus? Why is it so hard to get somebody just to go out and knock doors for a bus? Not necessarily riding it, but just for a bus and talking to folks about riding the bus. If this be the last generation, seems like we ought to have our soul winning meetings up here. I'm looking at the object of God's love this morning. But can I also tell you, them that are out there, they're the object of His love too. Jesus Christ died for them. The ones that are walking up out in front of the street right now. He died for them as much as He died for us, but they don't know it yet. But why won't we obey Him? We just finished our missions conference. Man, that was a great week. Love looking at that list of stuff we gave to the missionaries. Man, that's fantastic. Loved watching the missionaries open their gifts. And their eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And bigger
And they're getting to the place they can hardly speak because God's just showered them with. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh, I needed that. Oh, I needed that. Oh, that's going to help so much. And they're trying to concentrate on opening their gifts with this part of their mind and thinking about what they're going to do with it in this part of their mind. And in the back of their mind, they're jumping up and down, they're having a hard time sitting still. And we listen to them, all four of them, pour out their hearts to the place that God has sent them. They got called one day, and they gave up what they were given. I think of Miss Sarah going to New Guinea. Everything that she gave up to go there, and all the missionaries, because they're going where God called them to go. Why won't you? Why won't you? Why is it so hard? Why is it like pulling teeth to get God's people to be in the place where God wants us to be? Why? I don't understand it. Emptiness obeyed. Darkness obeyed. The fever obeyed. Death obeyed. Blindness obeyed. Lameness obeyed. The demons of hell obeyed. Why don't we obey? We are the object of God's love. We're the object of His incarnation. We're the object of His false trial. We're the object of He being beaten beyond human recognition. We're the object of Him giving Himself on Calvary. We're the object of the crown of thorns. We're the object of the nails in His hands and feet. We're the object of Him going to the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights. We are the object of the reason why Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We are the object of why He intercedes for us right now. Why won't we obey Him? Why is it when the invitation is going to be given in just a few minutes? We don't obey Him. Why? Do you care this morning if you disappoint God? If God's spoken to your heart this morning and you do not respond, you have disappointed God. You have let down God. If God speaks to your heart this morning, God is counting on you for a response. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior to take you to heaven when you die, if you don't know for sure that if when you die you'll go straight to heaven, I got a good idea for you this morning. Why don't you obey God? Why don't you obey God this morning? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, right now, in just a few moments. In just a few moments, there's going to be a person standing at the end of each aisle. And the music is going to play. And when that music plays, everybody's going to bow their heads or bow their eyes in one of the two. You know the drill. And we're going to stand. And when the music plays, there's going to be a lot of people coming to the altar this morning to do business with the God of this universe. If you're not saved this morning, why don't you obey God too? God says, today's the day of salvation. You need to stand to your feet, walk up to the front, talk to one of these men at the front of the church, front of the aisles. They'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven one day. And I can tell you for sure right now, I don't know of a thing that would please God more than to you that not right now don't know you're saved, where you're going when you die, to come up and to accept God's free gift. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. He died for you. He paid your debt of hell for you so you wouldn't have to. Don't sit there this morning and say, eh. Because you will remember that day. Because you'll stand before God one day. Because the Bible says the unsaved, those who do not trust Christ as Savior, will spend eternity in a place called hell. If you're saved this morning, why don't you obey God? Obey God. If God spoke to you this morning, obey God. If God says, if there's something God wants you to take care of this morning, obey God, whatever it would be. Say, well, God didn't speak to me this morning. Why don't you come and find out why? Why don't you find out why? As I mentioned just in a moment, the music's going to play. We're not going to sing. But the musicians are going to come. They're going to play. You're going to have a chance to do business with God. Let me ask you a question again. Do you care this morning if you disappoint God? Do you care? Then why won't we obey Him? Why won't we obey Him? Father, this morning, God, I know one thing. I disappoint You way, way, way too much. I'm not near as obedient as I ought to be. But God, I want to. And I know there's a whole lot of folks here in this room, same boat. We disappoint You way too much. We don't want to, but we do. But God, we want to serve You. And God, I'm sure if they're in a crowd this large, it just seems that there'd be at least one person who's not sure of their eternal destiny. That God, when the music plays in just a minute, God, help them, encourage them. God, Holy Spirit of God, speak to their hearts that they come this morning and settle it. Please. Help everybody in this room this morning. Help us. Help me. Help all of us as we obey God. Please, Holy Spirit, do a work now in this place. Please. Please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand to our feet. The music plays. The altar is open this morning. The altar is open this morning. One great preacher said there's two reasons why we ought to go to the altar. Number one, God spoke to us. Number two, God didn't speak to us. Why won't we obey God? Why? Are you sure if you died right this moment you'd go straight to heaven? Do you know for sure? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? There's men up here in the front that will take their Bible and they'll show you how you can know for sure. Just obey God today. Obey God today. Got all kinds of time this morning. We're in no hurry. That we won't obey God. Just what is there? What is there? The wind obeys Him. The sun obeys Him. The stars obey Him. Everybody, everything except the object of His love. And we have trouble.
this way, please. The list of everything is in your bulletin tonight. Ensemble practice tonight, 4:30. The cantata practice, drama practice tonight. Teen meeting at 5. Ladies' prayer at 5. Men's prayer at 5. Children's choirs at 5. Both grades. First through third, fourth through sixth, they're practicing tonight. I think that's it. If you lack of anything to do, I've got church tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Raymond's going to preach, and I'm excited about that. So come on back tonight. Oh, wow. We're early. That's okay. That's all right. All right. Brother Don, come up and lead us in prayer as we close, please.
Fathers, nothingness and emptiness and darkness obeyed. All of your creation obeys. And yet even I scratch my own head and say, why can't I obey? Lord, may we go just now. As we go from this place, may we be obedient to your word. Lord, how this ties in with the Sunday school lesson of this morning, our thankfulness for you to be the witness of your grace and your provision. And may those around us see through our obedience, your power, and indeed your love for all of mankind, in that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And may we be obedient in that life, Father. Guide us and direct us, protect us. Lord, bring us back together tonight, and those who are not here because of sickness and illness, we pray your restoration, that they might be among us. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.